Hey, friends. How are we? I love those two opening hymns. That was nice today, you know? A little Come Thou Fount, very Wesleyan. When I get a grunt from Daryl, I know it's a good day. Love it. We are in a teaching series, and we've called it The Harvest. We are in Luke chapter 8, and we'll read that together with some chutzpah this morning. Here we go. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables so that, though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stand for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Love it. Want to encourage you to follow along today using your Revolution app. There's a teaching notes icon in there that will help you glean some of the key points today. And also, you can get that app if you don't have it at revolutionky.org or through the iTunes store by searching on Revolution Church of Kentucky. You know, as I was preparing for today, I thought about secrets. People love secrets. You ever notice that? People love a good secret. For the most part, people can't keep secrets. You know how the story goes, right? Somebody tells something to someone else, and before you know it, someone else has told someone else, and then your whole social circle knows. Because people can't keep a good secret, but people love secrets. Secrets are a fascinating social experiment, actually. It creates an inner group and an out group, and the in group loves to tell the out group, "I know a secret." And then the out-group feels like the in-group has some secret knowledge that they don't have and they want it. And so it creates this power struggle. "You have to tell me." "No, I'm not going to tell you." "Tell me. Just, I won't tell anybody else." And so the story goes. It happens all the time. It's why Bunko was created. It's why guys have beer clubs. Right? It's why the government uses words like national security, or top secret, or classified, and so the merry-go-round goes. Most people generally love to be in on a good secret, and whether we're talking about conspiracy theories, outing cover-ups, or whatever, it's all the same. People generally love to be in on a good secret. Now, I share this with you because, in many ways, God is sort of secret. Well, we might use the word mysterious. Would be a little better choice there. You know, God discloses the secrets of the universe to us. This is part of what a revelation is all about. Not the book of Revelation, but the idea of revelation. God revealing himself to each one of us. And in the ancient world, secrets were very much widespread. Not just talking about the Jewish God of Israel, but secrets. There were secret mystery religions. There were mysterious incantations and prayers. You wanted secret knowledge of the gods to get the gods on your side. And if you had the secret knowledge, it meant that you could be well assured. You were further down the line in terms of eternal life and what have you. So you had secret religions, secret mysteries, secret cults, secret prayers. I mean, this happened over and over and over again. The wealthy got the secrets, and usually the poor didn't. And as we talk about a God who is mysterious, the psalmist says that God's ways are higher than our ways. The idea of a God who is three persons and yet one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this is a mystery. How do we really begin to explore this? The idea of a God who comes and becomes flesh, who dies, rises again, mysterious. Crazy. And Jesus is constantly unfolding the secrets of the kingdom in his ministry to other people. He uses something called a parable. And as we've learned throughout this teaching series, a parable, quite simply, is a story used in Scripture to teach or instruct. And Jesus uses these parables or these stories over and over again, whether you want to talk about lost sons or good Samaritans or whatever, Jesus is instructing people of the secrets of the kingdom. And in this parable, it's no different. He says there's a sower who goes out to sow seeds, and the sower is God. The seeds are the power of the kingdom, and there are four soils, Jesus says. The first soil is the path. Don't think of a concrete or asphalt path, but a hardened hiking path that no seed could penetrate. The second soil is the rocky soil. Quite simply, a soil with a lot of rocks in it. And the seed gets down for a little bit, but not a whole lot of moisture gets there. And because no moisture gets there, the plant withers and dies. The soil with thorns, think of a briar patch. And if you've ever seen plants try to come up in the middle of a briar patch, they don't last long because the thorns choke them out. And finally, Jesus says, there's a good soil. And in that good soil, where a normal harvest would be 7 to 15 times, in the good soil, in the kingdom of God, God can produce a harvest 100-fold. And I want to remind you that people would have traveled for a day. And they didn't get in their Fords and Chevys to come see Jesus teach. They walked for a day to hear Jesus teach about the secrets of the kingdom of God. And what they want to hear is essentially this secret. Are you the one that we're expecting? Are you the one who's going to wipe out the Romans? Are you the one who's going to restore the kingdom? Are you the one who's going to get rid of sickness and death and suffering and pain and all those things? Are you the one that we've been waiting for forever? Because I can't wait for these lousy Romans to be gone. Let us in, Jesus, on the secret. We want to know. And instead, he gives them this parable of a sower, a seed, and a soil. And the soils. And when it's all over, Jesus says this. We read it today. He said, when he said this, he called out, "The one who has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. And he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." I want to remind you again that this is a world of people who are living in secret religions, secret prayers, secret societies. The crowds want to get in on the secret. They want to know, Jesus, are you the Messiah? Are you the one we've been expecting? Are you the one going to wipe out the Romans? Are you the one who's going to release the captives? Are you the one we're going to watch the dead rise? Tell us. We've walked a day. I mean, come on. You owe us here. Jesus, let us know. What God has hidden, they want to be in on. And we call this revelation. Revelation, the idea of God revealing himself to us. I love how David Platt says it. He says, God's revelation is in the gospel, and it not only reveals who he is, but it also reveals who we are. This is what God does for us. Revelation. Here's who I am. The Bible, great source of revelation. Prayer, great source of revelation. Coming to Sunday morning worship, hopefully. Great source of revelation. I mean, this is what we try to do here at Revolution. This is revelation right now. We want to unpack for you. We want to help you learn about the mysteries of who God is and what God does. And the key words Jesus uses, again, I've highlighted in yellow for you, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. Now, the question I might ask this morning is this. Who's the you? Who's the you? The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. Who is you? Well, the you is the disciples. See, the disciples get the secrets, and the crowds don't. That seems backwards, doesn't it? that the disciples get the secrets, but the crowds don't. Because after all, the crowds have been traveling for a day to come see Jesus. The disciples, they've been following Jesus everywhere. This isn't anything new to them. You would expect that the crowds would get the secrets, and especially the crowd should get the secrets because they're not following Jesus anyway. They've just kind of shown up. So Jesus, here's the deal. If you give the crowd some understanding, if they begin to get it, then they'll join the kingdom too. So of course, Jesus is going to give the secrets to the crowd and the disciples. He's like, whatever, we can talk later on. But that's not how it works. The disciples get the secrets and the crowds don't. Now in the ancient world, the mystery religions who had secret knowledge would only give the secret knowledge to people who had proven themselves after a time of testing and initiation. So you didn't get the secrets of the religion until you had proven you really wanted to be part of that religion. Once you had proven you wanted to be part of that religion and you were initiated into it, then they gave you the secrets. And the beauty of it was they also believed that as you gained the secrets, you also shared in the life and the destiny of the deity. Let me say that one more time because that's going to become important later on. Once you gained the secrets, you also gained the life and the destiny of the deity that you worshiped. Now, this is the same for today. I mean, you don't get the secret handshake for a fraternity or sorority until you're initiated, whatever that looks like. You don't get the secrets or the business plans to a business until you're part of the team, right? It's not like I can call up Amazon today and say, hey, I'd love to know your corporate strategy for the next 20 years. They would say, oh yeah, we'll give you the public one. And I say, no, I want the private one, the one that you're really going to use. And what are they going to say? Hey, pound sand, dude. I'm not letting you in on that. You don't get the secrets until you're part of the team. See, membership comes before ownership. And Jesus had his own initiation too. He said, come follow me. Come follow me. Leave your nets behind, leave your family behind, leave everything behind. You come follow me. If you come follow me, then I'll let you in on the secrets of the kingdom. And it's hard. I mean, Jesus tells a parable later on. One guy says, hey, let me go bury my own father. And what does Jesus say to him? Let the dead bury their own dead. I mean, that's not nice. You want the secrets? Come follow me. And until you did, until you left your past in your past, until you trusted Christ to lead your life, to heal your hurts, to save you from your sins, you weren't a follower or a disciple. That's the way that it works. And it's no different today. I mean, we love our crowd. Love our crowd. Love that you're here. Our culture is designed, we'll let you in on the secrets of the kingdom of revolution. Our culture is purposely designed so when you're here for the first day, we want you to feel like you're part of something bigger. We want you to feel like you're at home. But we don't want it to end there. We want you to follow Jesus Christ, and I am unashamed of saying that. We want you to follow Jesus Christ. We want you to become a disciple. We want you to be baptized. We want you to be part of God's family. We want you to share in the destiny of Jesus Christ, of being forgiven of your sins and being raised to eternal life. That's what we're all about. We don't want to produce crowds. We want to produce disciples. That's what we do. That's what the church is all about. And Jesus' teaching is for committed disciples, not the crowd. See, in God's kingdom, relationship has to come before recognition. Well, what do you mean by that, Brian? It means that God wants our hearts first. And then as we give God our hearts, God begins to help us recognize what the kingdom of God is really all about. Well, I want to understand, and then if I understand, then I'll sign on. It doesn't work that way. God doesn't want to be our taskmaster. He doesn't want to be some safety patrol guard that gets us from point A to point B. He doesn't want to be a professor who dumps knowledge on us or a physician who gives us a script and says, get out of here. He wants relationship with us. He wants our heart, soul, mind, and strength, our time, our wallet, all of it. And the crowds, they just wanted recognition of the secrets of the kingdom of God. They didn't really care about relationship. Let me invite our worship team to come on back forward. Let me ask you this morning, are you a disciple Or are you just one of the crowd? Are you a disciple? Do you follow Christ? Do you have relationship with Christ? Or are you just one of the crowd? Now, Jesus loves the crowd. Let's not get onto some messed up theology where, you know, if you're outside the kingdom, wrath and hell and all that. No! Jesus loves everybody. This is what the parable is all about. Whether you're the path, the rocks, the thorns, or the good soil, doesn't matter. Jesus loves everybody. You mean those people? Yep, them too. But there's a qualitative difference between crowds and disciples. You want to get in on the action. You want to understand who God is and what God does. But before you do that, He wants your heart. So does He have it? God, we thank You that You long to reveal Yourself to us. And Your desire for each one of us is that we would recognize Your Lord. That we would put our lives in Your hands. God, that You would lead us, that You would heal us, that You would save us. And so this morning, we pray for Your continued leadership in our lives. We pray that You would send Your Spirit upon us and open our eyes, our minds, our ears, our hearts, that we might become more receptive soil to the seeds You sow, that we might follow You with all that we are. Produce and plant within us an abundant harvest today. Pray this in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen. Please have a seat. Now, here's one of the toughest lessons you'll ever hear. You ready for it? Yes. One of the toughest lessons you'll ever hear, or at least it has been for me. We'll see if this is the case for you. Just as relationship comes before recognition, obedience comes before understanding. Tough lesson? Ah. Yeah. Oh. That O word, most people don't like that word. I don't like that word. Obedience comes before understanding. See, most people want understanding, and then they'll be obedient. But in the kingdom of God, obedience comes before understanding. Kind of works like this. When I was a little kid, my mama said, hey, Brian, don't touch the hot stove. Now, the idea that we have today is that if we give the little kid understanding, they won't touch the hot stove. This does not always work. At least if your kid is 18 months to 24 months. I mean, if they touch the hot stove, then they're going to get it. Then they'll understand. But what you're trying to do is help the kid obey so that way we don't have grill marks on his hands or her hands for the rest of his life. Obedience comes before understanding. Jesus wants us to have a childlike kind of faith, and yet sometimes we want all the airtight reasons to believe first. So like if I have all the understanding and You've resolved all of my theological or spiritual issues, then Jesus, I'll sign on, and I expect some kind of contract that You're going to do this and I'm going to do this, and man, heaven help you if you don't do this because then I'm out. But that's not how it works. Obedience comes before understanding. Most people want understanding before obedience, but it works exactly the opposite. The disciples ask, watch this again. His disciples asked Him what this parable meant. Jesus, we're following You, and You keep telling stories about sowers and seeds, and what the heck are You talking about? And what does Jesus say? He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. Why is it given to you? Because you obey first. You follow Me. And because you follow Me, I'll share it with you. Because I have your heart, I'm going to let you in on what it's all about. Everybody else, they just came for the show. They want to know, are the Romans going to be wiped out and are our lives going to get better? Are our taxes going to go down? They don't really care about Me. They care about their situation. You obey, so I'll give you understanding. But to others I speak, who's the others? The others are the crowds. To others I speak in parables so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand. The crowds just want the Romans gone. The disciples want Christ. And that's why Jesus explains the parable of the sower, the seeds, and the soil to the disciples so they can examine their relationship with him and consider where are the places that there are paths, rocks, or thorns in my life with God. Crowds don't get that. Some of you might think, well, that's not fair. Well, sure, it's fair. The invitation is the same to the disciples and the crowds. Come follow me. Same invitation. One's just chosen to follow and the other hasn't. You know, the deal is if you want to become a mature Christian, put obedience before your understanding. You'll gain the understanding. Now, it may not be the understanding that you want. I don't know how it is for you, but I had a whole list of questions when I started this journey with Christ. Not all of them have been answered, and in fact, I have a whole lot more. But I do know this, I know that it's worth it. I know that sometimes God asks us to do the craziest stuff that makes no sense, like forgive people. Crazy. That's crazy. But I know that if I obey, my heart's changed. I know that I'm not miserable anymore. I know that I don't spend my entire life thinking about how I'm going to get even with that person. I know that my blood pressure will most likely go down because I'm not angry all the time. So if you obey, you come to understand later on that forgiveness is an even bigger dynamic than you could possibly understand in the first place. You see how this works? I mean, Columbus didn't know where he was going. He just said, I'm getting in the dang boat. Let's go. I mean, they all told him he was going to fall off the world and everything else. But he just went. Why? Because he believed he had some kind of divine calling. Or I don't know, he was crazy or had bad tacos. It doesn't matter. The point is, he went. He went. And later on, the understanding of where he went came. The disciples or followers of Jesus Christ are called to share in his destiny, and that's why they obey. And that's the question I asked you to consider this morning. Are you a disciple, or are you just one of the crowd? And maybe you're wondering, well, I don't really know. How do I know if I'm a disciple? How do I know if I'm one of the crowd? I'm glad that the scriptures show us this morning. At the end of the parable, this is Jesus' explanation to the disciples. He says, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. So see, there's kind of two steps to this. If we pick it apart, this is step one, hear the word and retain it. And this is step two, persevering and producing a crop. You see that? Two steps. Hear the word, retain it, and persevere, and produce a crop. See, first, you got to hear the word and retain it. And the word retain here, we might use as to talk about faithfully retaining it, holding it fast, living it out. If you are an early Christian in the church and the world hated you, you had to live counterculturally by a different set of values according to the way that are different than the way the rest of the world lived. People go, oh, you're one of those Christian people. And it might cost you your life. You're like, well, whatever, we're kind of a Christian nation. Not really. Not really. Like, you can come here and be free to worship today, but I'll tell you what, this isn't an overtly Christian nation anymore. And so, you know, the question is, are you going to live counterculturally each day with your friends and your coworkers and other people to show them the witness of Christ in your life? Well, why do you do that? Well, because I love Jesus. Well, but everybody does. It doesn't matter what everybody does. I obey and I follow Christ first. Well, that's weird. Yep. I mean, what if the worst thing they could say about Christians was, they're weird? I would love it. I was talking with somebody this week, and he said, you know, if we were to boil down the gospel and what it's all about and following Christ, it's kind of like this, right? Just follow Jesus and don't be a tool. Exactly. Exactly. I know it. See? You need to put on a t-shirt. Just make sure you give 10% to the church. All right. Yeah, see, being faithful matters to God. Being faithful matters to God, to hear the word and retain it. And the second thing is to produce a harvest with perseverance. See, followers of Jesus Christ, they're not consumers, they're producers. And in Western Christendom, this is a huge, huge deal. Because for the most part, when people go to look for a church, they try to figure out, what's it going to give me? Nope. Nope. It's more about what can I participate and be part of to give to others. What if it were less of what do I get and more of what do I give? What do you get here? You get learning. You get family. You get people who love you. You get encouragement. You get the scriptures. You get revelation. What do you give? You serve. You give financially. You lead. You invite other people. The kingdom of God is not about consumers. It's about producers. What kind of harvest can you produce for other people? And disciples cultivate the harvest because, just as we learned earlier, they share in the destiny of the sower. I mean, we're called to sow seeds. Part of the parable Jesus is saying to the disciples is, look, if you really want to follow me, then you've got to sow seeds just as the sower sows seeds. Do you mean just sow them to the good soil? Because we know good soil and the low fruit that we can pick, that's easy. And Jesus says, no. Where did I sow first? I sowed to the path. I sowed to the rocks. I sowed to the thorns. You got to sow everywhere. Why? To produce and to plant a harvest in other people. To invite them into the kingdom of God. You know, my vision of the great and glorious day of when we get to heaven goes like this. I don't do the whole pearly gates, St. Peter stuff. I don't think that's how it works. I mean, Scripture says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So you die, and immediately in the presence of Jesus. I mean, that's got to be good. That's got to be good. Like, for the first time in your life, there's no fear, there's no pain, it's just all good. And Jesus says, oh, man, I love you. I've been waiting for you. And you're like, oh. Right? And then he says, who did you bring with you? Who did you bring with you? Who are you bringing with you? Because there's no consumers in the kingdom. I love that our Create team put together some forget-me-nots for you today. I think that's pretty symbolic of what today is all about. Because if you retain the word, if you hold the word fast in your heart and you follow Christ obediently, I bet you'll gain the understanding. And as you sow the seeds everywhere to help other people forget not Christ, some great and glorious day when God asks you the question, who'd you bring with you? You'll be able to share with him an abundant harvest for his glory. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you never give up on us. There's never a moment in our lives that you aren't sowing into it. And Lord, you want our hearts. Yes, you want us to understand, but you want our hearts. And so this morning, oh God, we think about that question, are we a disciple or are we just part of the crowd? And we recognize the need that we have for you. Lord, we want you to lead us. We pray that you would heal us. God, we seek you for forgiveness of our sins and eternal life. And so, Lord, this morning, whether for the first time or as an act of renewal, we lay down our sins and we come to you obediently asking that you would forgive us of those sins. And we trust you to be the Lord and leader in our lives because you died on the cross and rose again. So Jesus, send your Spirit to fill us and lead us and heal us and save us and use us to produce a harvest in others. We make our prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A question asked, is it possible to become a disciple and slowly or quickly fade back into one of the crowd? Quickly, no. Slowly, yes. And that's usually how it happens. I think salvation, relationship with Christ is always a dynamic kind of a thing. You're either growing closer to or further from. And so if you feel like you're growing further from Christ, the good news is be renewed. You know, put your faith and trust, start following him. Consider where there's paths or rocks or thorns in your relationship with him, and remove them. How do you remove them? Well, we talked about last week, listen to the podcast, but in a word, it's a great word. The word is repent, and it's not a church word that means like you're in danger of hell. It means that you turn from what you're walking toward and start walking towards Christ. So you can be renewed at any time. Hopefully, if this is you, you feel a bit renewed today. And if I or one of our staff people can help you, we're all in for it. Shoot me an email or a text or call the church office, and we'd love to meet and get together with you. That's all I've got for today. I hope you guys have a great week. I hope you follow obediently, even though it's really, really hard. It's really, really worth it. Have a great week. Be the revolution.